From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, commentary, and so forth. Also, we will play some songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz, 4750 kHz, and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first day headlines. President Donald Trump reiterates U.S. readiness to help Iran with ventilators amid COVID-19 spread. At least 13 killed in Canada rampage, suspect dead. Now the news in detail. U.S. President Donald Trump has once again reiterated U.S. readiness to provide Iran with aid amid the coronavirus pandemic. On Saturday, Donald Trump said that he had offered help to Iran if they need ventilators. Iran, a country that is among the worst hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, has repeatedly said that U.S. sanctions have hindered Tehran's effort to combat the spread of the coronavirus and prevented the imports of essential medical goods to respond to the pandemic. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif tweeted earlier in the day that his country will soon be exporting ventilators, implying Tehran has made progress in fighting the pandemic, as the diplomat had previously claimed. A gunman killed at least 13 people in an overnight shooting rampage across rural Nova Scotia before being found dead Sunday after one of Canada's worst killing sprees in decades. Identified as 51-year-old Gabriel Wardman, the suspect had been on the run since Saturday night when police were alerted to shots fired in the town of Portapique, around 100 kilometers or 60 miles from Halifax, capital of the Atlantic province. The Commissioner of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Brenda Lukey, told Canadian broadcaster CBC that there were 13 victims so far, plus the suspect. The victims included a female RCMP officer, Constable Heidi Stevenson, a 23-year veteran of the force, while a second officer was injured. The United Kingdom is to try to use the blood of coronavirus survivors to treat hospital patients ill with the disease. NHS Blood and Transplant (NHSBT) is asking people who have recovered from COVID-19 to donate their blood so they can assess the therapy in trials. The hope is that the antibodies they have built up will help to clear the virus in others. The U.S. has already started a major project to study this, involving more than 1,500 hospitals. NHSBT now wants to collect the plasma from recovered COVID-19 patients to see if it can be given to people who are currently ill with the virus. If fully approved, the trials will investigate whether convalescent plasma transfusions could improve a COVID-19 patient's speed of recovery and chances of survival. German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas pledged on Sunday to fight Holocaust denial as the trio of former Nazi concentration camps marks the 75th anniversary of their liberation in the shadow of the coronavirus pandemic. Memorial ceremonies have had to be cancelled or dramatically scaled back for the camps at Sachsenhausen, Ravensbrück, and Bergen-Belsen. Germany assumed the chairmanship of the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance last month, and Mars said it would use the year at the helm to fight against those who deny or distort the history of the Holocaust. Dozens of members of staff working at Afghanistan's presidential palace have tested positive for coronavirus. 20 cases were initially reported, but on Sunday the New York Times said the number had risen to 40. The Afghan government has not commented, and there is no suggestion that President Ashraf Ghani himself has been infected. Afghan government figures from Saturday showed 933 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Afghanistan as a whole, with 33 deaths. While the numbers appear, the country has limited access to testing and the health system has suffered under decades of conflicts. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. State-owned enterprises ministry special staffer Arya Sinulinga revealed in an online discussion how the government intends to fend off mafias in the healthcare equipment industry. One of them is by boosting the local production of ventilators, which has become an essential tool to treat patients of coronavirus COVID-19. As of now, ventilators are being developed by several local parties ranging from government institutions up to state universities such as the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, the Bandung Institute of Technology ITB, and the University of Indonesia UI. However, these locally developed medical ventilators are designed for non-severe cases and are yet able to fulfill the needs of hospital emergency rooms. Apart from that, Arya also said that the development of ventilators needs to be medically tested prior to a large-scale production batch. The last item, North Jakarta Sulianti Saroso Center Infectious Hospital has discharged 90 COVID-19 patients since it received two infected patients that the Indonesian government officially announced as its first two cases of new coronavirus disease on March 2. As of Sunday, the hospital authority revealed that it had received 140 COVID-19 patients, where 90 of them had been allowed to get home after having fully recovered from the disease, while 25 others passed away and 25 more remain hospitalized. According to hospital authority, as revealed in its statement that Antara received on Sunday, 46 of the 90 patients who were discharged remain under the PDP or patients under monitoring stages, while 44 others had tested positive for the virus. Over these past 24 hours, there was no patient who died of the virus. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
The International Monetary Fund, IMF, predicts the impacts of the coronavirus or COVID-19 outbreak will be the worst recession since the Great Depression of the 1930s, or almost a century ago. This is very reasonable because due to the COVID-19 pandemic, almost all economic sectors in the world have been totally paralyzed. Starting from the airlines to the manufacturing industry, the impacts have reduced and even stopped operations and have to lay off employees. The reason is that many countries in the world impose restrictions on the movement of their citizens to break this deadly virus chain of spread. The predicted negative global economic impact of the COVID-19 pandemic certainly hits the global economic growth. Indonesia also undergoes the adverse effects. This year, the IMF predicts that the Indonesian economy will only grow 0.5% from the previous 5% in 2019. Behind the threat of economic recession as a result of the paralysis, some economic sectors, there are sectors that have a great opportunity to be the driving force of the Indonesian economy, during the COVID-19 pandemic. Economic researcher from the Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF, Abra Talatov, in an online seminar in Jakarta on Friday night, April 17th, stated this. According to him, they are the health sector and information communication technology, or ICT, industry, such as e-commerce or online trading. It's worth knowing that during this pandemic, many people need medical equipment such as masks and personal protective equipment, or PPE, for medical staff, which are increasingly rare and expensive. This situation prompted several business sectors to become producers of medical devices. This transition, in addition to making it easier for the public and medical staff to obtain medical devices at affordable prices, also helps reduce unemployment. Besides the medical devices, e-commerce business is also a major public need for transactions in the COVID-19 pandemic. Because people are afraid to shop directly or offline, some purchases are made online through an e-commerce platform. No wonder many local e-commerce platforms have emerged, especially to meet the needs for food. This helps consumers in the process of buying goods, and farmers and traders market their wares. The COVID-19 pandemic indeed paralyzes the economy, but that does not mean people should accept the situation with resignation. Many can be utilized and become a new source of income for people who are creative and can see opportunities. It is hoped, albeit indirectly, the opportunity can still increase national economic growth. And listener, that was commentary.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Our regular program, Today in History, starts from an event on April 20, 1998, on the crash of Air France Boeing 727-200. On April 20, 1998, Air France Boeing 727-200 took off from El Dorado Airport, Bogota, Colombia's capital, to Quito, Ecuador's capital. However, a moment after the plane took off, the plane crashed at a mountain near Bogota. The terrifying incident killed 43 passengers and 10 cabin crews. It still remains an unsolved mystery how the plane could hit the mountain. In fact, Boeing 727 planes are designed to be able to operate at airports which have not been supported by proper facilities. Boeing 727 planes can land on short runway with full capacity, particularly planes with high frequency. The next event is in 1999 about the mass killing at Columbine High School, USA. Two students of Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, USA shot their friends. The shooting killed 12 students and one teacher and wounded more than 20 others. The two perpetrators, named Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, committed suicide after launching their action. The shooting is considered as one of the deadliest mass shootings at school, with the highest number of victims in U.S. history after the tragedy of Bath School. The last event is about National Consumer Day. The National Consumer Day is established based on Presidential Decree No. 13-2002 on the National Consumer Day. The selection of April 20th as the National Consumer Day is based on the issuance of Act No. 8-1999 regarding the protection of consumers. The commemoration of National Consumer Day aims to raise people's awareness about the importance of rights and responsibilities of consumers and encourage government to pay more attention on the protection of consumers in Indonesia. And listener, that was Today in History. Cinta, mengapa kau menatapku dengan manja? Indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Terasa berwarna dia segalanya, yeah. Bibirnya yang merah merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona buatku kehilangan kata. Ku berjalan menuju arahnya, melihat dirinya yang istimewa. Setiap langkahku menuju selamanya, yeah. Wajahmu, senyummu, hangat peluk tubuhmu, kesamu, pelanmu, membuatku selalu rindu. Lepaskan semua masalahmu, tinggalkan semua masa lalu. Berhenti, 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 hentikan waktu di dekatku. Cinta, tatapku dengan manja, indah parasmu menghangatkan suasana. Oh, hari semakin terasa berwarna, dia segalanya, oh yeah. Bibirnya yang merah-merona, indah senyumnya buatku terpana. Suara hatinya yang mempesona, buatku kehilangan kata. Wajahmu, senyummu, hangat peluk
size in every creature. To be clear, you're my angel in disguise. Woo! Flawless beauty like the sun when it arises. Don't need no makeup, put your head down, 'cause that beauty of yours make other girls frown. I wanna tell you that I love you, I need you, I want you, I cater for you, and I'm gonna be there when the sun is down.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, the next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia to make 16,000 PPE every day. In the near future, Indonesian domestic industry players will produce 16,000 personal protective equipment or PPE every day, based on the criteria of the World Health Organization or WHO. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita, in a virtual press conference after a limited meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday, April 15th, said that his office through the Textile Center of the Ministry of Industry has cooperated with the task force for the acceleration of handling COVID-19. The cooperation was also expanded by involving the Indonesian Textile Association. Besides PPE, Minister Agus Gumiwang also said that his side, along with a number of industries, is also making various efforts to develop ventilators. The Ministry of Industry has coordinated with four groups of ventilator developers from the University of Indonesia, the Yogyakarta team consisting of Gajah Mada University, and a number of private companies. From the results of the coordination, it is certain that several groups of ventilator developers will start producing this April. He also explained the Yogyakarta team actually spoke in the medium to long term. Besides handling COVID-19, in the future they will produce high-grade ventilators, while other groups will produce low-cost ventilators. When opening a limited meeting recently, President Joko Widodo said the availability of medical devices, medicines, and pharmaceutical raw materials amidst COVID-19 pandemic must be ensured sufficient for this moment and in the future. This includes the availability of PPE for doctors and medical personnel. The reason is that currently more than 200 countries in the world are affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Many countries in the world are fighting over the supply of medical devices and pharmaceutical goods to overcome the virus that attacks the respiratory tract. President Joko Widodo asked the ranks of ministers and leaders of institutions to re-evaluate the entire potential of domestic industrial resources, such as the pharmaceutical raw materials industry, the personal protection equipment or PPE industry, masks, ventilators, and others. He also reminded exports of goods related to handling COVID-19 to be done selectively because domestic needs must be prioritized. In addition, the import of raw materials for making medical devices and pharmaceutical goods to handle COVID-19 must be facilitated. And listener, that was My Indonesia for today.
Kupandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. pandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Takkan baik bila kamu sudah tak tahan begitu. Tak perlu menunggu waktu untuk kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu.
Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener now will present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know Mandoo Hill in East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Besides its beautiful beaches, Rote, one of the regencies in East Nusa Tenggara, also has beautiful hill, namely Mandoo, which is mentioned as Tangga 300 by local people, because to reach the peak of the hill, there are around 365 stairs. One of specialties of the hill is the southernmost border between Indonesia and Australia, even it becomes border between Asian and Australian continent. Hill is located at Kuli Village, which is rich with its agricultural products. To go there, you can be through Altari Airport in Kupang, which is the capital city of East Nusa Tenggara, and then you may continue by plane to Rote Island. You can also use ferry from Kupang to Ba'a City, Rote Island. From the city, you go to Mandoo Hill, which takes around 1.5 hours by land transportation. Arriving at Mandoo Hill, you will be greeted by stairs. One by one up the stairs, at the peak of the hill, you will see amazing scenery. Here, there is also Lopo at a certain height for taking a rest. Lopo is Rote typical construction which has a half circle roof with chairs surrounding the construction. To access the peak of the hill takes around 20 minutes on foot. In the northern side of the hill, you can see Lole Hill. While in the west, there are Kuli Village and rice fields. In the east, there is Keka Hill with Blue Bay under the hill. In the south, there is Indian Ocean. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder, featuring Mandoo Hill in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Tomorrow, we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
Siapa yang pernah salah?
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is salam or greeting. Stay tuned. Next, it is a conversation about salam or in English greeting. Tony will go to Yogyakarta by plane. He and other passengers are entering the aircraft cabin. Upon entering the plane, flight attendants greet the passengers who have just entered.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi. Pagi.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Selamat pagi. In English, good morning. Selamat siang. In English, good day. Selamat sore. In English, good afternoon. Selamat malam. In English, good evening. Pagi, in English, morning. Siang, in English, noon, day. Sore, in English, afternoon. Malam, in English, evening. In Indonesia, there are four concepts of time in the day and night, namely morning, afternoon, evening, and night. Greeting is usually adjusted with the time and situation. You can say selamat pagi in English, good morning, if you greet someone in the morning. If you greet someone in the daytime, you can say selamat siang in English, good day. If you greet someone in afternoon, you can say selamat sore or good afternoon. While if you greet someone at night, you can say selamat malam or good evening. To answer someone's greetings, you can repeat their greetings. For example, selamat pagi, you can answer selamat pagi or good morning. Or you can only say pagi or morning. At noon, you can say selamat siang or good day. Or just say siang. On the evening, you can say selamat sore or sore. At night, you can say selamat malam or good evening or malam. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi. Pagi.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Lapisan tipis air yang beku, sentuhan lembut kan hancurkan aku. Walaupun cinta yang sempurna menghampiriku seketika, ku ingin kau tahu betapa rapuhnya. Cintai sepenuh hati.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions, 4750 kHz for European regions, and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner, about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song titled Tanah Airku. The song tells a story of the beauty of the wealth of Indonesian nature. Mountains, valleys, rivers, green forests, and blue ocean are priceless blessings from God Almighty for Indonesia, which should be grateful. Listener, here is Indra Utami Tamsir, will present the keroncong song, Tanah Airku. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Keep listening to our program at www.voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 kHz for Asian regions or 4750 kHz for European regions. Don't forget to check out our Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram voice.of.indonesia. Also, send your reception report to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you on the next English program.